Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Our focus is going to be verses 16 through 18, but we're going to read the first section here, the day of the Lord, verses 1 through 18, just to get the full context. Page 987 in your pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all of them. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know how this last year and a half has been for you. But I know talking to Pastor Brian a little bit, you've experienced a lot of the same things that we've experienced in Southern Ontario. We've gone from a world of mobility, working without any kind of restrictions, visiting one another in our homes, going to church regularly, living our lives normally. Suddenly, all of that has changed. All of that has been taken away. Many of the things that we were so used to suddenly seem like a luxury, don't they? Many of the freedoms that we hold dear as Canadians just aren't our reality any longer. Now, our government's been scrambling to come up with solutions, a response to COVID. And you know that all around the world this is true. And the big question has been, well, how do we stop the virus? How do we keep people from dying? And it's created a world of change. It's created a world where nothing is normal, up and down. And there's a lot of suffering because of it. Like you, we're in the middle of a 6-week lockdown. In our home church, we had a Zoom meeting where people just opened up a little bit about the issues that they were having, the struggles that they were having, and it was so encouraging to hear people just open up about some of the anxiety and the difficulty the last year and a half have caused them. So this has been a tough time, not only for those in the church, but those outside the church. I saw a billboard a couple of days ago that said, only 2 more lockdowns till Christmas. I thought to myself, hopefully not. So I think all of us, brothers and sisters, I think we're all a little bit tired of this new reality, aren't we? But I've chosen a passage this morning that speaks directly to even the situation that we're living in right now here in 1 Thessalonians. It instructs us there that in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, we're just supposed to paint a smile on our faces, that we pretend everything's okay, that we deny the reality that we're living, as my kids say, fake it till you make it. It's not that. What it does mean is that no matter the circumstances, whether in times of difficulty or in times of blessing, God calls us to a life of heartfelt gratitude. The church in Thessalonica was going through some very deep waters at this time, it's important to know. The Apostle Paul had warned the church that tough times were ahead. And this is something that every good pastor does. It prepares the congregation for those speed bumps in life. Our job, part of our job description is to explain, look at your faith in the real world looks like this. Where we used to live in Mexico, they would oftentimes put very, very large speed bumps in the road. And if you didn't see the sign ahead of time, or if they didn't put up a sign, you were in an awful lot of trouble because that could take out the whole bottom end of your car. And brothers and sisters, so it is in our spiritual life. If we don't see the speed bumps before we're into one, it can cause a lot of spiritual heartache. And the Apostle Paul wanted to prepare the church for these times. And at the time that Paul wrote to the church, they were facing internal problems and they were facing external attacks by those opposed to the gospel. Yet even though this was the case, throughout this final section, Paul has been encouraging the church to remain faithful. He's encouraging the church to keep going even though times were tough. And he had just spoken about Christ coming back again. This is what we just read. The Christians in the Thessalonian church, they wanted to know hard answers. They wanted hard facts. Well, what is coming? People are dying. Christians are dying. Where are they right now? What is going to happen when Jesus Christ comes again? Will their bodies be resurrected, yes or no? And this passage actually gives us some of the clearest information on what will happen when Christ comes again. But this is the context in which we have these three verses, this threefold command. Always be joyful, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks. And today, as we consider these three verses together, we're going to see this. What does Christian thankfulness look like? And how are prayer and joy an essential part of our thanks to God? What does Christian thankfulness look like? And how are prayer and joy an essential part of our thanks to God? Let me begin by saying that these three verses seem like a pretty tall order to us, don't they? We can say, humanly speaking, almost impossible. Anyone here today could tell me, especially those who have a lot of life experience, you could tell me that life oftentimes is very difficult. That tough times come to everyone, that sickness, that financial struggles, that the loss of loved ones, that comes to each person in life. If you haven't experienced this morning, if you're young and perhaps a little naive, I'm glad for that. But sooner or later, these are the things that we have to face. So we might think, we might ask the real question, who can give thanks to God in times like this? To our human mind, it doesn't make sense. Even when things are going really well in our lives, we're often ungrateful to God, aren't we? But especially when times are tough, when our faith is stretched, when we are forced to walk by faith and not by sight, the sin of ingratitude finds very fertile ground. It's important to acknowledge that this trait, this character trait, this description of thankfulness is not a character trait that is unique to Christians, is it? We can say that even those who aren't Christians, there is a certain level of gratitude. Even a person who professes to be agnostic or an atheist, well, even they celebrate Thanksgiving Day, don't they? Even they celebrate Christmas oftentimes, and they will often gather, and they will perhaps express it this way. They'll say, well, I'm thankful for the good fortune of having a job. I'm very thankful for the family and friends that I have around me. I'm thankful for the measure of health that I'm experiencing right now. It isn't expressed to anyone in particular. It's just a feeling of well-being that they have. They perhaps see it as good luck. Perhaps they say, well, all the stars have aligned and my life is going well right now. Now, brothers and sisters, while we can say there is a certain type of appreciation in those who are not Christians, we know that this is not the true thankfulness that God desires to see in us, is it? Romans 1 says of the unbeliever, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And that makes sense, doesn't it? They don't believe in God. Obviously, they're not going to have communication with him. Because they don't have communication with him, they're not going to have a relationship with him. The Christian's thankfulness, on the other hand, biblically speaking, it's a very different thing, isn't it? We give thanks to God, not to an unknown entity, but we give thanks to a God who has revealed himself to us, to an all-knowing and all-seeing, a sovereign and eternal God. He's also a personal God, isn't he? He's a God who has reached out to us. He has shown us his love and his grace. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's what we understand, right? God is a personal God. God is a God who sees us and knows us and understands us. And everything that we have in our life, it's something that comes from his hand. That good job you might have isn't because of your own hard work. That because you've been able to sweat it out, you've worked hard and you've gotten ahead in your life, that's something that you've earned. No. That comes from the hand of our Heavenly Father. The family that you might have, the marriage, the strong marriage you might have, all of those things, those come from the hand of the Lord. So Christian thankfulness is very different. And verse 18 explains the reason why. It says, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And those three last words are very important, aren't they? Our thankfulness, we can say, is grounded in that fundamental truth that because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, he's redeemed us out of sin. He's redeemed us out of death and darkness and despair. We know that we're lost in our sins. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, the scriptures tell us. We're without hope, aren't we? But Jesus Christ has come to pay the price for our sins. He's given us new life in him. Colossians 2 verse 6 says this, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." The words that we saw in Colossians 3, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we need to understand, first of all, brothers and sisters, that thankfulness is impossible without a right relationship with the Lord. It's not something that we can come up with on our own. In fact, it's probably the opposite. Naturally, what is it that we do? We complain. We are discontented. We want things our own way, don't we? So it's only when we begin to understand our need for the Lord that we see our own sinfulness and that we turn to him in repentance and faith, and we receive that forgiveness for our sins through Christ's blood. That's when our relationship begins. And that's when we begin to see our life through a different lens. And this is why Paul here mentions something very important, and that is unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. We need to ask the question, what does it mean to pray this way? What does it mean to pray without ceasing? And what Paul the apostle here is driving at is that there needs to be a connectedness that we have with God. In order for our relationship with the Lord to be strong, there has to be constant communication. If you have a close friendship, you know that it's important to get together regularly with that friend. If you have a good marriage, you know that you have to talk with your husband or wife. Anybody that tells me as a pastor that they have a good relationship with their husband or wife and they're not communicating well, I know that it's not true. It's not going to last. So it is with the Lord. In order for our relationship to be strong, we need to have this unceasing prayer. And brothers and sisters, we can talk about two kinds of prayer. Planned prayer and prayer that comes in the moment. For a lot of you here today, you probably have times where you plan to pray with your family before meals and you ask the Lord's blessing on a meal before you eat it. That's a good thing to do. We know that's the biblical precedent. Many of you have devotions after a meal. That too is excellent. We need to plan those times to gather as family and as friends where we get into God's word and we speak of what it means and we pray at those times, don't we? Maybe in the morning when you get up, you have a time of devotions and you pray to the Lord, or maybe before you go to bed at night, you give thanks for the day that you've had. All of those things are wonderful. But when I speak of in-the-moment prayer, what I'm speaking of is spontaneous prayer, prayers that come up in the day. Not necessarily a list of things that you're remembering, but prayer that you need to think about in the moment, where you hear of a specific need, where you hear of a person that's ill. You need to stop in that moment. You need to ask the Lord, "Lord, be with that person." You know, sometimes we forget about this, brothers and sisters. We tend to only think about planned prayer. We don't think of the spontaneous prayers, but really, I believe this is what the Apostle Paul was speaking. I remember one of my first times on the mission field when I was living with some PCA missionaries, Reverend Richard Dye and his wife Anita. He's now gone to be with the Lord, but It was so neat to see how everything was bathed in prayer, every ministry decision. People would be on the phone. They had two different lines. I remember Mrs. Dye would be on the phone, and she'd have one person. She'd be praying with that person. Another person would call, and she'd say, "Hold on, I'm praying with somebody else. Let me be with you. I'll be with you in a minute." But for me, it was such an example. They took prayer to a new level. They were constantly remembering things. And brothers and sisters, I think this is something that we need to develop in our life, to remember to pray. One of the great examples of this in church history is a man by the name of George Mueller. Maybe you know his story. If you haven't read his story, children, young people, you should pick up just a description, do a short Google lookup on him. But a man who had a tremendous impact in the 1800s on thousands of orphans. But he was a man who believed in the power of prayer. That when we call out to God, that God will respond. And there were so many amazing stories. He said this: "The Lord not only gives as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. And this blessing fills me with inexplicable delight. He has given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers." And brothers and sisters, that's why it's so important for us to pray regularly, to pray spontaneously, to pray specifically. I don't know if you've ever had it in your life that you've had a specific answer to prayer. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? When God specifically responds to something that you have been asking, maybe your family has been asking, maybe the church has been asking for. Unceasing prayer. Because without prayer, brothers and sisters, we're weak, aren't we? We're cut off from God. Sometimes I think as Reformed believers, we can be very good at meeting together and discussing the things that need to be done. But sometimes we forget about the power of prayer. And even though God knows exactly what we need more than we do, he wants to hear us call out to him, to rely on him. And prayer is so necessary, especially during times of difficulty, isn't it? Because again, the trials in the Christian life are something that God calls the Christian to expect. It's not the exception, it's the norm. And even though it's something that we don't like, it's the best thing for us. Even right now, what's going on, we don't exactly like it, but brothers and sisters, the Lord is teaching us a giant spiritual lesson. And you may ask the question, why? Why is this necessary? Why is it necessary for us to go through these difficulties? Why is it necessary for us to have these trials? And the answer is, brothers and sisters, it's because we are forced to truly walk by faith. In our own minds, we want to have our lives under control, don't we? We want to know exactly where we're going to be going tomorrow at every moment. We want to have everything planned out. We want to know where our next meal is coming from. We don't want to have to pray for it. We want to know the house we're going to live in and how that house is going to be paid off. Naturally, we want to have healthy, strong bodies, don't we? All of our ducks in a row. But when the storms of life come and they beat on your house, on whom is your foundation built? When your props in life get taken away, that is when you need to see That is when you will see exactly where your trust is. Can you still give thanks to God then? Can you receive the plate of difficulty and suffering that God has served you and still say thank you to Him? Will you trust the Lord in those times, brothers and sisters, knowing that He is working all things to your good? Remember, when we receive that promise, that is from God's perspective, isn't it? Sometimes when we go through a trial or a struggle, we want to know exactly what it means. We want it translated for us right away. We want to know, well, Lord, if this is what you are doing in this moment, how is this going to help me down the road? Let me tell you, a lot of times we don't get that answer. Right now in the church in Tepic, Mexico, where we served many years, one of our faithful elders, a man who stood by me for 15 years, worked with me, a wonderful man, his name is Martin, just recently got the news that he's got colon cancer. He's only 57. When I heard the news, I thought to myself, Lord, why? Why? This is a man that has been so faithful. This is a man that has served so well. All of this man's family is non-Christian, most of them. Many of them are involved in the cartels. And in funeral after funeral, this man stood faithfully. He read the Bible. He would sing hymns. He would testify to his family. And we can ask the question, well, why, Lord, would you take a man like Martin? We don't get it. We don't understand. A few weeks ago when I was there, I was able to sit alongside him in his hospital bed, and he said to me, Rich, he said, the Lord knows what he's doing. I know that when I die, and it looks like I'm going to die soon, he says, I know that I'm going to be with the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind. That I'm so thankful for what he has done, that he has saved a miserable sinner like myself. And brothers and sisters, that was such a wonderful thing to hear from his lips. That he wasn't scared to meet the Lord, that he wasn't scared to die, even though he has a 20-year-old daughter studying at university right now. But brothers and sisters, this is the kind of faith that God wants to see in us, in life and in death, in blessing and in times of difficulty. One author said it this way. He said, if you don't suffer trials and let it drive you to Christ, you will never be able to handle trouble. The ironic thing is that if God were able to keep you completely safe from trouble, you would be shallow, you would be breakable, you would be entitled. And that is why the Apostle Paul here says to the church to give thanks in all circumstances, because it is God's will for you. You know, sometimes we think it's an accident, isn't it? Like, what's going on in the world right now, this couldn't possibly be a part of God's will for us. It's outside of His control. But what a wonderful thing it is, brothers and sisters, that when we go through these difficulties, that we know that God does have a purpose for them. And that purpose is to cause our faith to grow strong. And maybe you've heard it said that faith is like a muscle. Unless it's used, unless it's put into practice, it grows weak. And we have to be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, you know what you're doing. And I'm going to thank you for those things that you're doing in my life, even for the things that I don't understand. I'm going to trust in you to take care of all of the details and let you work them out. That's what true faith is. That's what true thankfulness is, isn't it? And do you know what a thankful life, a prayer-filled life produces? What's what the passage here says? It's joy. It's true, lasting joy. And when we have this kind of communication with the Lord, when we have this kind of trust in Him, brothers and sisters, this is what it produces. It produces this profound, deep joy in us. When you look at the history of the church, you see this so often. Some of you know the story, perhaps, of Corrie ten Boom and the Second World War in the concentration camps, but the tremendous joy that she had, even in those times. I was reading recently of a man by the name of Pastor Duan in China. Many years lived as a leader in the church there, but over 20 years he was in jail. When you read his testimony, he was just so filled with joy, so filled with contentment, knowing that God was using even those most difficult trials for his good. So, brothers and sisters, for you today, this morning, I can't promise you that your life is going to be all smooth sailing, that there won't be tears or worries or concerns in your life. There will be. But God will bring you through those times. He will bring you through those times more mature, more trusting, more understanding of what He is doing. And this, again, is why we need our mature saints in the church. Those who have lived many years with the Lord, they'll tell you there's ups and downs, there's mountaintops, yes. But there's a lot of valleys as well. There's a lot of difficult times in those years. So I'd encourage you, sit down with an older person that has walked many years with the Lord. They'll be able to share their experience with you. Romans 12, verse 12 says this, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." And as we close this morning, let me ask you very simply, is this a description of you, of your life? Maybe you've come to this service today not feeling this way at all. Maybe you have no peace, no contentment in your life, no thankfulness in your heart. And maybe that is because you don't have a right relationship with the Lord. And maybe God is using the trials and difficulties in your life right now to drive you to Him. Scripture tells us that today is the day of salvation. So don't walk out of here today without putting your trust in the Lord, without going to Christ and confessing your sins to Him and getting into a right relationship with Him. Don't do it. These promises that we have seen can be yours in Jesus Christ. But maybe you are a Christian this morning. Maybe you've walked with the Lord for a long time and you've simply grown discouraged. Maybe you're feeling anxious about what is going on right now. That's true for a lot of us. But maybe your prayer life has grown cold. You lack an intimacy with God. And maybe you've been focusing on all the things you don't have instead of all of the things that you have received in Christ. If that is the case, cry out to Jesus once again. He knows us. He knows our weakness. He knows our frailty. He knows the things that we go through. He has been here. He has walked this earth. He knows our need, brothers and sisters. Cry out to Him. Remember that you are a child of God. Remember all of the promises that are yes and amen in Him. Remember, they are yours, brothers and sisters. This morning, I'd like to close with a passage of Scripture that you've been looking at. I know you've been studying through 1 Peter. But I think it's a great summary, a great conclusion to what we're seeing, what we've seen this morning. It says this, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, Lord, that speak so pointedly to us this morning. Lord, we confess to you that we have come here this morning with ungrateful hearts. Lord, perhaps we've come with anxiousness, we've come with fears, and with discouragement. But Lord, remind us of what we have received in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there is a person here that does not know you this morning, Father, I pray that they would cry out to you. Lord, that they would confess their sins, that they would turn from their sin. And Lord, that they would embrace you and receive forgiveness from you, the forgiveness that only you can give. And Lord, that they would learn to walk in this kind of life, a life of thankfulness, a life of prayer, and a life of joy. But for all of us, Lord, I ask that that would be true. Lord, even in the valleys, Lord, that you would encourage us and strengthen us. And Lord, even in our weakness, that you would use us, Lord, to reach those around us that don't know you. And to show them that we don't have it all together, that we don't have the perfect Christian life. But Lord, that we struggle too. But you are there in those struggles. Father, remind us of these truths, we pray. Help us to be a church that truly is thankful. A church, Lord, that is constantly praying to you, communicating with you, and is full of inexpressible joy. Lord, may that be true of each one of us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.